Hello and welcome to Onk Live On Air. I'm your host today, Jason Harris. Onk Live On Air is a podcast from Onk Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onk Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, I spoke with Naoto Tada Ueno, MD, PhD, Executive Director at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, Morgan Welch Inflammatory Breast Cancer Research Program, and Clinic and Section Chief of Translational Breast Cancer Research. Dr. Ueno also holds the Nyleen Eccles Distinguished Professorship in Breast Cancer Research in the Department of Breast Medical Oncology and Division of Cancer Medicine at MD Anderson. He joined me today to talk about inflammatory breast cancer. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Ueno discussed the challenges of diagnosing IBC, the unmet need for new agents to treat patients with this disease, and the current ongoing research he's eager to see reported. Dr. Ueno, thank you again for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Inflammatory breast cancer is rare and accounts for only about 1% to 5% of all breast cancers. It often doesn't appear on a mammogram, and unlike other breast cancers, it doesn't form a lump in the breast. So typically, how do you diagnose this disease?
Typically, we make the diagnosis based on history and physical examination. The patient generally will complain some kind of skin change, redness, swelling, cuticle orange changes. And in addition, we try to use breast imagings.
What makes IBC so aggressive compared to other breast cancers?
So it makes it aggressive from a couple different perspectives. Having a diagnosis of an inflammatory breast cancer automatically categorized as a stage three. So what's one of the most challenging part is by the time that patient presents with redness and swelling of the breast and you know that there is a breast cancer there, and we actually do some kind of staging. Standard care is to give preoperative systemic therapy and they may get a response, and sometimes they will achieve what we call pathological complete response. So generally, like pathological complete response in non-inflammatory breast cancer, it really is a sign for they're going to do well and the chance of disease coming back is very low. However, in IBC, yes, achieving a PCR definitely is helpful and it is much better than having a residual disease. However, that does not mean that disease will not come back. You still have moderate or even some people say high chance of disease coming back. So you have to be very vigilant that treatment being effective does not guarantee that disease will not come back.
Typically, what's the course of treatment for IBC?
So the typical course is to give neoadjuvant systemic therapy. And obviously for triple negative, it's like Keynote 522 regimen with chemotherapy plus immunotherapy. HER2 regimen is HER2 target therapy with chemotherapy, and estrogen receptor positive is to give chemotherapy. After that, they will need to go to modified radical mastectomy followed by radiation therapy. And depending on whether you achieve PCR or not, and you have different type of adjuvant endocrine therapy. So there's a multiple things that they have to receive. So it's a very long course for them to get treated for IBC.
Obviously, the disease is diagnosed in the advanced stage. What's the prognosis for these patients?
Historically, overall survival for 5 years has been in the range of 50 to 60%. Now, recently, if you really do what we call the tri-modalities, chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation therapy, and if all together, and if you do the right diagnostic testing, then they will probably improve in that 60 to 70%, but still a lot of patient disease could come back.
What sort of research is being done? I know we talked earlier and you said physicians have to do a lot of extrapolating from non-inflammatory disease.
So I think I could divide into basic and translational versus clinical. Probably a decade ago or 15 years ago, we tried to identify genomically, there's a we're looking for difference between IBC versus non-IBC. Unfortunately, that there's not really a gene driver from the tumor that is defining how this disease is going to behave. Rather, what we've been noticing is that if you do studies related to the tumor itself in a genomic level, you don't see much of a difference. There is some slight difference in terms of TGF-beta pathway. However, mostly the difference is small. Recently, many of the study, we have been focusing on changes noted inside the tumor and tumor surrounding, which is the tumor microenvironment. And there are some data to suggest that macrophage activity is abnormal in inflammatory breast cancer, and there's some dysregulation of the immune system. The reason for this aggressiveness, there's definitely a tumor component to it, but tumor microenvironment contributing to the aggressiveness of the disease.
You talked before about data from Keynote 522 showing that pembrolizumab plus paclitaxel and carboplatin had efficacy in IBC. Is there any update to those findings?
We know that some of the IBC patient was treated in Keynote 522, but we don't have any details about it. Keynote 522 obviously became the standard care for triple negative inflammatory breast cancer, and that's what we give at this moment. Now, in terms of how well it works in IBC, we don't have a solid data at this moment. So this is going to be that we're not going to have a prospective study to figure this out. So I think we're going to have to retrospectively try to see that whether we're going to achieve a very similar PCR rate as other non-IBC setting is something that we have to look into.
There was phase 2 data presented last year at ASCO showing that neoadjuvant pertuzumab plus paclitaxel in patients with HR-positive advanced breast cancer induced a PCR of 64%, but there was no DFS benefit. Is there any value to using this combination if there is no obvious survival benefit?
Hormone receptor positivity does not mean that the patient has a better prognosis than comparing to people who don't have hormone receptor status. So that's a big difference in comparing to non-IBC setting. So when we actually look into IBC and just look at the overall prognosis, triple negative is the worst, but there's not too much of a difference between hormone receptor positive and HER2 positive. So what's complicated here is the PCR reflects some of the long-term prognosis, but it's not perfect. And hormone receptor is not always the best prognostic marker. So how do you put this in the context of the trial data remains to be somewhat unknown. And so we have very limited data that how in IBC hormone receptor positive standard treatment that's coming out from brighter clinical trial, what it means remains to be unknown. But unknown doesn't mean that we don't treat. Unknown still, we still will extrapolate data from the non-IBC and we try our best to see the outcome, but we do need to have a long-term follow-up to understand that whether current standard care is really going to be the best for our patients.
So what upcoming studies are you looking at that could benefit patients with IBC?
There are a couple of different things that we are looking into. And I think the key is always to achieve the higher pathological complete response. So there are different neoadjuvant study that has been going on for the past 5 to 10 years. And the key two targets was one from Dana-Farber's group, which is targeting JAK2 pathway. And the other for us is targeting EGFR pathway. For us, this was before the Keynote 522, we have conducted panitumumab, which is a humanized anti-EGFR antibody combined with chemotherapy. And the PCR rate in that setting was about 41 or 42%. And comparing to our historical data with only chemotherapy, which is only about 21%, it's almost doubling in terms of the PCR rate. So we were conducting anti-EGFR antibody plus chemotherapy, but what happened was with Keynote 522 getting approved, conducting a regimen without immunotherapy is not feasible. And we currently have preclinical data to suggest that EGFR targeting in IBC modulates the tumor microenvironment to be more favorable to respond to immunotherapy. So we just opened a study that combines anti-EGFR antibody with immune checkpoint and chemotherapy combination in the neoadjuvant. So that's for the triple negative IBC. Same thing, Dana-Farber, as I said, JAK2, there are some promising data. So JAK2 study plus paclitaxel, and this study recently finished, and we need to really see the data, what it means. And so we're waiting to see, to have a more detailed formal data analysis to see what is the impact.
What ongoing studies are you following?
In the metastatic settings, one of the excitement is targeting EP4. EP4 is one of the inflammation pathway. And we do know that in IBC, this inflammatory process is much active. And this is EP4 is part of the prostaglandin. So we have an EP4 inhibitor combined with eribulin, which is a chemotherapy combination. So we have a study with EP4 inhibitor plus chemotherapy to see the activity of this combination. We also noticed that there's a very high activity of potentially checkpoint inhibitor may be more easy to use, not just in the triple negative disease, but even in a hormone receptor positive because of the nature of immune dysregulation in inflammatory breast cancer. So we have a study combining with a checkpoint inhibitor plus eribulin, and that study is ongoing also. Initially, we combine even with cobimetinib, which is a MEK inhibitor plus checkpoint inhibitor plus chemotherapy. But because of a certain toxicity and Genentech has decided not to develop cobimetinib in this condition, currently the study is a checkpoint inhibitor plus eribulin in the metastatic settings. So those are probably the two main targeted therapy that we're working in the metastatic settings.
Is there any preclinical research you're excited about?
So I think that there's a lot of exciting new preclinical data or potential target that we'd like to explore. Inflammatory breast cancer patients are not the easiest to treat. And obviously the standard treatment is fairly formulated. However, we all have to remember that outcome, despite of the best standard care, is not stellar at this moment. So I think if the patient or the physician has opportunity to refer to IBC specialized clinics such as MD Anderson and Dana-Farber, we highly recommend for exploring to getting a second opinion from these specialized clinic, which may give opportunity for the patient to seek for different treatment options, may able to get a specialized recommendation, which will help the community setting to treat these patients.
Thank you again so much for taking the time out this afternoon, Dr. Waino.
Great. Thank you very much.
That's all we have time for today. Thanks again to my guest, Dr. Naoto Waino, and thank you for listening to this episode of Onc Live On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.